You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Resistance is spreading in Massachusetts cities and towns. More than 100 communities have to change their zoning this year to be in compliance with a state law that is designed to allow for more housing. Now, Milton was the first to balk, overturning a plan passed in town meeting. The governor withheld money. The state attorney general sued the town. Still, residents from Wrentham to Winthrop are pushing to follow Milton's lead. Denny Swenson is one of the leaders of the No from Milton campaign and accepted our invitation to talk about what drove the pushback there. Denny, welcome to Studio 2.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. And listen, I want you to know, I want the listeners to know, my goal with this conversation is not to relitigate the arguments here, but to understand where this came from and what the objectives are now. So let's go back. When the No campaign, did you exist before the town meeting? Was there an organized push before town meeting when the zoning plan was passed that later there was a referendum to overturn?
No, there wasn't an organized group of any sort. During town meeting, I put some feelers out to get a sense of how the citizens around town felt. And then during town meeting, we compiled the list of approximately 500 residents that suggested sending the article back for further study, feeling that it could be improved if that happened. So we knew there was some interest in that. So when the bylaw passed at town meeting, we looked into the town charter that allows for the citizens to get 5% of the voter signatures and put it to townwide vote.
And were you not expecting it to pass during town meeting? Did that catch you by surprise? So here's what I'm trying to understand. How do we get to the point where there was a referendum versus overturning it, you know, or stopping it before it passed in town meeting? Do you understand my question?
So there was hope that we could fix or tweak some things during town meeting, and that wasn't going well. There was, I think it spanned two nights, over 6 hours of debate, and we noticed there were, you know, just incredible speakers, one after the other, with real ways that it should be improved. So it just came down to it was a flawed bylaw, and the proponents of the bylaw were acknowledging that it was a flawed bylaw, but they were saying, please pass it anyway because we don't want to deal with the penalties put forward by the state.
And to clarify, there was a deadline for Milton by the end of last calendar year because Milton was classified as a rapid transit town under the MBTA Communities Act, and those towns had to do this before the end of last calendar year.
Right.
All right. So we brought you in some water, by the way,
Thank
if you,
you
want to reach over and grab
so
that. So the main objective, so now there's a referendum, right? The referendum vote's going to be in February. What is the main objective of the No campaign? Is it stop this? Is it signal something to the state? Is it redo? Do you understand my question?
Sure. I think the people who voted no on the referendum really wanted to hit pause and try to put forward a better article that had broader consensus and actually could meet the key principles of the legislation, you know, as far as traffic mitigation improvements, climate sustainability, resiliency. And Milton's own goal of increasing affordable housing.
So we're here with Denny Swenson, who's a leader with the No for Milton campaign, having a conversation about sort of what happened and why. So why did you, I mean, listen, it's one thing to go to town meeting. It's one thing to vote in a referendum. You got out in front on this. So Denny, why, what was motivating you? What was your concern? Why?
Sure. Well, yeah, you mentioned this a little bit, but at the base of the bylaw, the whole approach was rapid transit. And the problem with that, if we had been reclassified as adjacent community, we would have had another year. If we had been reclassified, we would have had 1,500 less units, and we would have the chance of actually meeting the legislative goals that I mentioned, traffic, you know, improvements, climate resiliency improvements, and better, more affordable housing percentages. So, and you know, if I could describe, we have a historic trolley in Milton. It seats 38 passengers. And to tell our town that because we have that trolley, we need to zone for 2,500 units, it just didn't seem to match up with, you know, how to get there. We really think if we went with adjacent community, we would have a better chance of building better zoning.
Okay, so a couple things to pull apart there. First, and I'm just going to quote this for you. We had on the show, sort of as this was going on, former Massachusetts Assistant Secretary of Transportation Chris Dempsey. And one of the things he said in part was, quote, "The Mattapan High Speed Line is a rapid transit by any federal or state definition. The National Transit Database has been tracking it as rapid transit as it would for any other dedicated rail line, which is what it is," end quote. And the state had already said, we're not going to reclassify. So what did you think, given what you were hoping for, given that we know that, what did you think would happen if the referendum passed and Milton overturned the zoning changes that it made at the end of the calendar year in 2023?
So our goal is to work with the state and get to compliance, but we do have to, you know, come together and you know, deal with that issue of, if you call it reclassification, that's one thing, but in practice, it seats 38 passengers. So if the true goal of the legislation is traffic impact mitigation, the article that failed had 1,100 units in East Milton. And there was no way to really walk to the trolley from there. You would have to walk across an on-ramp and an exit ramp to a highway. Then you couldn't go as the crow flies because you can't go over private properties and businesses that don't allow it. We didn't have enough sidewalks. It would be a very, very long walk. It's just not walkable.
We're here with Denny Swenson, who's a leader with the No From Milton campaign, exploring what led Milton to take the step, or some residents of Milton to take the step, to propose a referendum, which then passed. So a couple of things there. You named the number of units. Denny, this was zoning to allow, but not a plan to build, right? So this was Milton saying in East Milton, there could be under zoning up to X number of units, but certainly in no way a plan to build those units, correct?
That is correct. They did expect eventually there would be net new units of 1,100. Across the town, they said zoned units of 2,500, but net new units of 1,700 or 1,800. So I'm not saying it would happen overnight. The stars have to align, the interest rates have to go down, and the developers will develop when the numbers are right for the developers.
I'm going to play a little sound here from Liz Dillon, who's co-chair for the Yes for Milton campaign, your No for Milton, speaking with WBUR before the referendum about traffic concerns.
If these people cannot live in Milton, they're going to live someplace else, and then those people will have to travel into the city, and they might cut through Milton. So by not having them live in our town, I don't think it will actually resolve the problem.
Now, again, I'm not here to relitigate all of the arguments, but now that the referendum has succeeded, Milton needs to create a new plan. What is a plan that you could say yes to that would meet what the state wants and deal with what traffic considerations people have, some who are on the yes side and some who are on the no side? What does that look like, Denny?
To me, it looks like sitting down and working with the state. We've never had the chance to do that. The Secretary Augustus said that he would be sitting down and talking with the Yes campaign and the No campaign, and working with us. But then
that's the Housing Secretary at Augustus.
And then the Attorney General, you know, brought the suit forward. So I don't know that conversation is going to happen. But I think there needs to be room. If you're going to have a sustainable approach to working through these issues with the towns, then there needs to be a room in the bureaucracy to actually work through some of these issues. I think the town does want to get to compliance. I think there should be room in the definition. We could call it something else, but it is not. We do not have the capacity on that trolley for, you know, many units.
So if that's off the table, though, if that's off the table, reclassification, then what?
then we have to come up with a unit count that we can actually, you know, get to traffic impact mitigation, climate sustainability. I mean, as I was
saying, 2,400 units, as is currently required by the regulations associated with the MBTA Communities Act, non-starter as far as you're concerned.
Yes, it is, unless we can come up with a way to actually do it in a, you know, a climate sustainability way, like resilient way, I should probably say. I mean, the goals of the legislation should be achievable in this. So we should have the opportunity to work with the state and come up with something that actually achieves the goals. The way that this zoning has taken place is, you know, here you go, just look at a map and try to find a place to put 2,500 units. Milton is built out. We have the Blue Hills. We have hospitals. We have two, you know, a college. We have two private schools. We're built out along the tracks. And we need to, you know, work together to come up with a way so we meet those goals.
Were you taken aback by the speed and level of response from Governor Healey, who nearly immediately withheld some state funding, and State Attorney General Andrea Campbell, who has sued Milton?
Yes, I thought it was rather aggressive. I think, you know, we were dealing, it's been 10 weeks roughly, and we've been dealing with sometimes three letters a week.
10 weeks since?
Yeah, since a town meeting roughly. Mm-hmm. So it's just been one, you know, it's all sticks and no carrots.
Did they give you any indication that there would be carrots?
No, but from time to time they said they wanted to work with us, but we haven't seen any effort toward that. I know they did do some funding, you know, over the year as they were trying to figure out various zones and stuff. I know there was some funding for that effort, but otherwise, you know, working through actually getting us there, we haven't felt that they've worked with the citizens.
We're here with Denny Swenson, who's a leader with the No from Milton campaign. Did it surprise you that now there are other cities and towns who are sort of in the next wave that are using Milton as a rallying cry to say, we're not going to do this? Did you think that was what might come next, or are you surprised by that?
Yeah, the day after the election, I was a little bit surprised at that just because we were so focused. We had an article in front of us that was flawed, and we as a community were trying to get to a place where we could make improvements. So we were so focused on that. I know people, you know, say, do you object to the MBTA Communities Act? I think the goals are worthy goals that we should all be trying to achieve. But I do want Milton to be a part of the solution. So, you know, principles and goals are there and they're good. It's just getting there. So we were so focused on Milton, and it was a really quick turnaround. We had, you know, we got 3,000 signatures in 5 days, and then we had 6 weeks to have a campaign. And then there was a snow day election, so it got canceled, and we had it the next day. So it was very, very intense, and the stakes were high. And as I said, we were receiving, you know, letters on a weekly basis, sometimes three times a week. They were having press conferences.
Did you think you were going to win?
I thought we had a really good chance because the people were working so hard to be heard.
So my last question, I think, then, Denny, is now how do you, is it your job to, and if it is, how do you organize those people to ensure a process that gets the next plan? Do you understand my question?
I do. I have a lot of faith in our planning board, and this should have been in the hands of the planning board for the, you know, for the entire time, but the select board took it, they ran this way, and now we needed to get back to the planning board. I believe the planning board is a representative, they're elected body, and they're very representative of the town, and they will listen to both sides, and they will do what they can to address a lot of these concerns. So I think it's a citizen's job to try to support the electeds who represent the citizens.
What's your message to the other cities and towns who are up this year, have to do the same thing?
So I don't have much of a message to them. I don't necessarily want to take on a leadership role in that capacity at all. That wasn't my intention. But I, you know, the trolley issue is unique to Milton, and that's probably our biggest issue. So our biggest goal is to get to adjacent community and you know, be part of the solution and come up with the housing that requires. So that's our biggest goal. Are there overlapping issues with the other towns? Yeah, this one size fits all is going to be an issue. And the state, it would behoove them to find a way to, you know, have a bureaucratic process that allows the towns to come to the state and work through these issues, especially when they want to. And we really do want to.
All right. Denny Swenson of the No for Milton campaign. Thanks for coming into Radio Boston today.
Thank you for having me.
So joining us now, Andrew Brinker. He is a reporter for the Boston Globe who's been covering the rollout of the MBTA Communities Act through Milton and into what comes next. Andrew, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So just first reactions to that conversation with Denny Swenson.
Yeah, well, I think it really sort of crystallizes the very challenging position that Milton is in right now, which is that, you know, organizers of the No campaign say they want to work with the state. The planning board says they want to work with the state. The select board says they want to work with the state. But there are a couple of issues that, you know, folks really don't want to budge on, which and you know, the state does not want to budge on as well. The obviously at the top of that list being the rapid transit classification. You know, the planning board in a meeting, it was either last week or 2 weeks ago, sort of seemed to be at a consensus that their path forward was pursuing reclassification. I asked the state about that, and the state said they have no plans of considering reclassification. So, you know, it seems that the state and the town, at least the elected officials of the town, are in two different places right now.
I was struck, Andrew, by Denny Swenson making it clear this was not Milton starting a movement. In her mind, there were specific things to her town, and in fact, she's in support of the act. That feels different than some of the reporting and public conversation around this is the beginning of a wave of lots of people who just don't want to lose local control.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think you saw it in a couple of the other rapid transit communities as well. Newton and Brookline both had really, really substantial debates. And, you know, everybody said they wanted to comply with the law, but people had different visions of how to do that. I think what you're seeing in some other towns now is, you know, a mix of those two things. Some towns that say that, you know, they do want to comply, but they feel that the guidelines are unfair. And some towns that say that they're just not interested in having the state tell them how to zone at all.
So the carrots versus sticks, your reaction to that, you know, Denny was disappointed that the state did not introduce some carrots.
Yeah, I think the state would say that the carrots are, you know, the various grant programs that they outlined, the discretionary grant programs, especially that list of 13 plus grant programs that the state has talked about over the last year about, you know, towns could lose out on these or, you know, if they sort of go along with the state's vision for, you know, building out of the housing crisis, you know, these are grants that you will, you know, be considered for. But, you know, I also think the state was fairly clear in, you know, not only in the build up to the Milton referendum, but just generally throughout the last year that they're taking MBTA communities very seriously and they need communities to comply. And if that means, you know, using their sticks, pulling grant funding as they did a couple weeks ago in Milton, or, you know, if that means a lawsuit from the attorney general, they'll follow through because, you know, they think that this needs to happen and it needs to happen as quickly as possible.
Andrew, just briefly, what will you watch for now?
Well, on the local level, I'm watching to see, you know, first of all, the town's response to the lawsuit. I think that'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. You know, there are a couple of areas that I would expect them to respond to, specifically surrounding the guidelines and the rapid transit classification and that sort of thing. So we're still awaiting that response, but that'll be interesting to see. And then obviously what happens in other towns? Are more towns going to be inspired by Milton, or, you know, will they join the larger group and go along with the spirit of the law?
Andrew Brinker, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
This is Radio Boston.